The EMS Garage is a production of EMSRadio.com. You can find us on Facebook, just search EMS Garage. You can find us on Twitter at EMS Garage. Email us, emsgarage@gmail.com, or call us, 303-720-6001.
The EMS Garage.
Okay, I got the DC on the phone there. I want to know if you can handle that call as well. Just confirming you are checking the patient.
Yeah, my 22 is on scene.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the EMS Garage. It's the weekly podcast about all things EMS and everything in between. We love having you guys listen to us. We're getting more and more listener comments through our telephone number. So I'm going to start a new segment this week. So look for it. It's going to be a video blog about the comments we receive from the phone. So I'm going to actually play the phone message. And then I'm going to comment about it in just, 3 to 4 minutes and just tell you what I think. The comment this week was really good, so look for that. It'll probably start out as its own separate podcast thing, and so you'll be able to catch that in iTunes. And, of course, I'll always make it an audio podcast so you can download it. 5 minutes. It's easy, very easy, and maybe I'll even tack them on to the end of the garage just so you have a chance to listen. So I'm your host, Chris Montero, as I forgot to tell you at the beginning. Geeky Medic on all the websites, but you can definitely find us there. I am joined again by one of the best panels in EMS. Every week we get together to do this show, and it just astounds me that people actually want to come on and talk about EMS, even after hours. And so I'm excited to have everybody on. So up first, Mr. David Koenig. Hello, sir.
How are you?
I'm good. What have you been up to? It's summertime in New York, and I'm sure the birds are chirping and everything.
Yeah, no, the summer's here. The cement is absorbing all the radiant heat during the day and giving it off at night. So we're at a broiling 87 degrees around the clock.
Wow. Ooh, yeah. That doesn't sound nice. You know, that's the same thing that happens in Vegas, though. Just always hot. Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah, but at least there it's a dry heat.
Good point. Yeah, I was in when I was in D.C. like 2 weeks ago. It seemed like it was 90 and 90% humidity, and I was dying. I was like, "How do people live here?" And I want to go back to where it's dry.
That's
heat.
New York.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's the same thing in New York. So
right on. Well, it's nice to see you, and we were talking about WordPress 3.0 before, and I'm sure we'll get to talk about that sometime. See, gee, this is why I want to have EMS Geek. We've got to start that podcast someday so we can talk about all kinds of cool things. Yeah, I've got the domain. We just got to start the EMS Geek podcast because that would be a cool, show where we could just be geeky and nerdy. And because I found some really cool EMS Geek toys that we could be playing with, and we could be talking about them. So maybe we'll just start it up and just do it, and we'll make it our weekend show, and that'll be a fun one. So thanks, David. That other voice you heard is Jamie Davis, the pod medic. Hello, sir.
I don't know what it is. I just can't wait to be introduced because there's so many good opportunities for comments going by that, like, I just can't hold it in.
I gotta talk. Let me talk, man. Right on, dude. Well, thanks
for having me on, dude.
Right on. How you been?
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
Right on. Sorry to... this is going to be the marathon day of recording for you, but hey, why not? It's all in good fun. And the Mac Mini, the new Mac Mini was released today. Apple Mac server. Everything we could be talking about on the EMS Geek Show. Anyway. All right. Well, and finally joining me, Mr. Kyle David Bates, the next podcast pioneer dude, whatever.
I'm humble.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. The first when are you gonna post the first show? Is that a couple weeks away or?
I don't know. We gotta talk about that. I gotta get the website up and going.
Yeah,
I'm looking at code right now. Going. I have no idea what I'm looking at.
I'll help you, brother. We'll help you through that. We'll get you there. So firstfewmoments.com. You can watch it. You can watch it become what it is. Today it's a blank template. Someday it will be very pretty. So go there and sometime soon you'll actually get to hear us do the first show, which we just taped minutes before this show, which was fun. That was a great show. Rick Rosati and some big heavy hitters, and it was really cool. So it was a lot of fun. I hope to make it on that show from time to time, and we'll enjoy at least being on for the first few episodes anyway. So, and really enjoy producing it for you and being on EMS Radio, and I really appreciate that. So thanks, man. That's cool.
I appreciate it. I appreciate all your help.
Hey, no problem. Well, you're the image medic, so I'll be your pod. I can't be the pod medic. I could be only the I can only be your geeky medic. So two stories jumped out at me this week, but I'm sure we'll find others. The first one is the we'll read it and then you can tell us what you think. But I'm sure you guys will know where we're going anyway. Study reveals heaviest users of ambulance transport. So this study was sponsored by ASAP and was recently published online Friday in the Annals of Emergency Medicine. And quite honestly, I'm a little offended that we're actually to this point where we're publishing things just like this. Anyway, so surprising and somewhat disturbing finding in our study was close to half of critically ill patients come to the ER on their own without an ambulance. Okay. So that means that they're actually sitting in the waiting room trying to get triaged. Okay, that's all right. But then comes probably the most brilliant statement in the entire study. Among the critically ill, private insured patients were less likely to rely on ambulance transport than those with Medicare, public insurance, or no insurance at all. Wow. No duh. All right. So really, it just is like, so anyway, I don't even know where to start with this. Oh, well, and then like the little footnote, approximately 500,000 ambulances are diverted from the closest emergency room every year. Well, I will tell you that in the state of Colorado, we don't do 500,000 ambulance transports a year. So that's like the entire state of Colorado being on divert. That's pretty crazy. So did you guys have a chance to read it? And what were some of your thoughts?
Well, I looked at it, and I'll be honest with you. You know, initially, yeah, we all had our "well, duh" moment, right? But it really is important to do studies like this. And you know, initially, I was really going to really lash out at this article because it's just it's so stupidly obvious. But the problem is that there are a lot of things that we do in medicine because it's always done that way, because the consensus has always been that this is the reason why we must do something. There's no science to back it up. There's no study to back it up. So in some respects, while I guess anecdotally we know this to be true, I don't think that we know this to be true by any kind of quantitative method. And so I unfortunately, I think we really need to do some studies like this one. As I read the article more, we need to be able to point to where the system is falling short. And one of the ways to do that is, are we bringing in the most critically ill patients by ambulance? And clearly, almost half of those patients are coming in on their own and not using EMS. Is that because of an educational issue? Is that because they are unable, they're embarrassed and they don't want to avail themselves of those types of public services? And then, of course, the other side of the coin is our traditionally underserved population of the people without insurance, people who are of lower income brackets, at-risk populations, those people are disproportionately using the EMS system, even if they may not be critically injured and necessarily need emergent transport. And so there, I think we needed to point to a study that actually quantitatively put this into a picture that we could then examine on, all right, we need to change this. That's my take on it after I read it. I mean, I was with you, Chris, and well, duh. But unfortunately, we need to be able to point to this and say, well, we sort of know this, but do we have any proof?
Well, and I, you know, what I wish they would have done, too, is really look at instead of looking at, let's look at the entire patient population and look at the people that are high utilizers of the system. And, you know, we'll figure this out and we'll get there eventually. But, you know, through other things like community paramedic, blah, 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 things we've talked about on this podcast before that will help decrease the people that don't need to be using our service. So maybe we go back to that public education. This is when you call 911. It's funny because we're actually getting ready to put out a large media marketing campaign in our area with a local hospital, just talking about when to call 911. Because we've actually seen a huge decline in people calling 911. So we're like, why is that? So we're going to do some analysis of that too. But we really think that people aren't calling 911, even though they should be. And we want them to know that we're there and we're going to take care of you no matter what. It doesn't matter if you can pay or not, which is, you know, kind of unfortunate for EMS that we'll get there someday when we can actually prove our worth. But, you know, we're a tax-supported entity, so we should be providing that service, whatever your ability to pay. So I don't think that that's an issue. But I think the issue is people recognizing when they should call 911 and when they should do things. So, Dave or Kyle, do you guys have a... Dave, should I call you Dave or David? I feel weird calling you Dave because I've only known you as David.
No, Dave's fine. That's okay. Normally what I'm called.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, unfortunately, when I went to registering that domain, some comedians had it since 1998, so, and he won't give it up.
Right on.
Go figure. Well, you know, reading the article, I understand where the numbers are coming from and stuff, and it's not, it doesn't surprise me, possibly because I'm on this side of the system, so to speak, kind of, I see the payer mix of payers versus non-payers and stuff like that and percentages. So I deal with those types of numbers on a weekly basis. What I found really interesting was the part where it says that the increasing demands on ambulance transport and emergency departments from an aging population indicate that ambulance diversion is likely to worsen and the elderly will be most affected. And I just don't understand how they could make that type of conclusion. I would think that the critically ill person would be the one most affected.
Right. Well, you would think so, but I think that we're also, I mean, I think we're slowly, you know, this wave of gray that, you know, everybody's like, oh, it's coming. I think it's coming slower than what we thought, but I think someday it's just going to hit us and we're just gonna be like, oh, we're kind of in the middle of this thing and we didn't really realize it. So,
right.
It's going to come. It's just going to take time. And you're right. I mean, the critically ill are really the ones that we really should care about. So, Kyle, what do you think?
I like to see how many of those patients have actually primary care physicians. Because in Buffalo area, I find a lot of these patients don't have a primary. And EMS, including the emergency department, are their access to a primary physician. I've been called for Tylenol, you know, before, and, you know, and that's something, I mean, you know, the community, you know, paramedic is great, but I'm wondering, you know, how well it works with all these people just taking me to the hospital. That's all I want. Don't touch me. Just take me to the hospital. And so I can go get my Tylenol or I can go get my, you know, my antibiotics for this cold I've had for 3 weeks. So I think it's something that we need to look at as well.
But you as a provider should be empowered in your system to tell those people, we're not taking you.
And it's been interesting because I've brought that concept up to a lot of my colleagues who work not only at the commercial service, but who work with me at the town. And they're like, okay, it's not a bad idea, but. And I always get that big butt there about, well, there's these people that don't want to do the job and they just, you know, want to sit on their ambulance in a corner and do the least amount of work. And that always, and it's been such a common statement by everybody that gets me really, really nervous about that.
You know what makes me nervous about that is, If you turn around and, you know, someone calls because they've had a cold for 3 weeks and they want their antibiotics and you say, no, I'm not going to take you, go to your primary care physician, you know, that's someone who, you know, 2 months, 3 months down the line when they're having an MI, is going to turn around and say, you know what, I'm not going to call 911. I'm just going to go see my primary care physician because they wouldn't take me last time. And, you know, I'd be more afraid of that kind of backlash. I have more issues with people not calling 911 when they should be calling it as opposed to when people call it when they really shouldn't. Because I'd rather have them call and have them be okay and be stable than have them not call and be unstable and try to drive themselves to the hospital and then halfway there end up, you know, wrapped around a light pole.
Well, okay.
Now let me ask you.
Well, I was going to say, though, let me rebut that. I'm not saying that you go there and go, oh, you don't need an ambulance and walk away. You got to use it as an education tool and say, you know, sir, we are very happy to be here. Thank you for calling us. We understand your need and we understand the urgency of what you need. Let us hook you up with a primary care physician tonight to get you the antibiotics you need so that we can take care of you. We are part of the healthcare system. We recognize that your need is urgent to you. However, we want to make sure that we're also available for the person that is having a heart attack or the person that and be very compassionate with that speech. And so you do education while providing for their needs. And I think you can do both. I don't think that you just go, you don't need an ambulance, and walk away and go, you suck. So, I mean, that's where I guess my thought is that if we're going to be seen as healthcare providers, then we need to start acting like healthcare providers. Because I guarantee if you went into your physician, if you go into the emergency room tonight and say, I want antibiotics, okay, they're going to treat you with somewhat compassion, okay, a little bit. And then they're going to get you what you need, and you're going to be on your way with a $500 bill. Whereas if they would have stopped you in triage and said, hey, we understand your needs. Hey, why don't we're going to fast track you into our urgent care clinic or our primary care clinic, and which a lot of ERs are doing now, which is very cool. They get the patient taken care of and get them on their way, which is really saving dollars for the patient. It's saving dollars for the system, and it's keeping beds available down the line. So we don't have a person sitting in an ER bed for 2 hours, waiting for a doctor to come in and see him to hand him an antibiotic prescription. And that's where I'm going with that.
It's about it's that whole spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down, right? You know, it's all on how you put it. If you can couch it in those terms where, hey, look, you know, you could sit in the ER for 8 to 10 hours and you'll get seen. Or you can get a good night's sleep here at home, you know, take some Tylenol, take something to manage your symptoms overnight, and first thing in the morning, go to your local urgent care center. If you don't have a primary care physician, go to your primary care physician, or, you know, start selecting your clinics or you know, if your target has a nurse practitioner in it, they can write scripts, and it's like $60 to go in, get examined, and get an antibiotic prescription for something. This is something that needs to be managed. You know, Maryland has added to its protocol now, it's going on 2 years, the ability to take patients to an urgent care center rather than the ER. I don't know anybody that's actually done that. And I've talked to a lot of Maryland paramedics and EMTs, and no one's actually done it. They're scared to do it. They're scared to make that assessment, or they are unable to. Their system has told them that they're not to do that, even though it's in the protocol.
New York was actually doing a pilot study in Rochester on that, and I've talked about this before. And it's kind of sad what they found out is they found that it was actually fairly effective. But the problem is the responder, the paramedics were less likely to suggest going to an urgent care center because they ran more calls. Because you go to the urgent care center, you drop the patient off, you're back in service, and take more calls, as opposed to taking the patient to the crowded ER and sitting there for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours.
Okay, so we have a couple things then. We have a system problem, we have a patient problem, and we have a perception problem. And until we get those solved, I don't know where. I mean, we as providers need to stand up and say, okay, yeah, it does suck that you have to go do more calls, but you know what? That's kind of your job. And but you should do what's right for the patient, not what's right for you, and getting a break while you got some wall time in the ER. I don't know. I mean, it just kind of, if we want to say we're professionals, then be professional. Also joining us tonight, Mr. Ted Sutler. Hello, sir. Sorry, I just brought you on.
Thanks, buddy. Hey, appreciate buddy. It. But I actually am, I'm really kind of excited to hear a couple of the conversations going on, simply because in Alameda County, where things are kind of on both ends of the spectrum, where we've got all of like 3-minute transport times to the cardiac receiving facility or the trauma center, all the way through 15, 20, 45 minute, even up to an hour sometimes, transport times. It always dawned on me, okay, where do I want to work tonight? Am I going to work Oakland or am I going to work Livermore? Because ultimately I know that if I get that call to Kaiser Walnut Creek, it's going to take an hour. So each call itself is going to be 2 hours. Or should I work in Fremont, where I could potentially, you know, get less calls? But, you know, so ultimately that is just it is what it is. And that's what makes paramedics paramedics. They get used to a system. They like how the system runs. The system's different in every city, and so you get paramedics who get comfortable in certain ways and work the system to their benefit as much as they can, because ultimately that's really the only, if any, power we have when we are, you know, in the field. But that being said, there's no sacrifice in patient care. I don't think that that's ever really been the issue. But if you've got the last call of the day, the patient's calling for the stub toe, and they want to go to the hospital that's, you know, 40 miles away, and you know for certain the closest hospital is exactly what they need, and you convince them otherwise, and oh, by the way, that hospital that's the closest is also the one closest to deployment where you're going to be taken off. Can you see the motivation there? You know, I don't remember ever taking a patient to a hospital that they didn't, you know, actually need to be at. So it's not a matter ever in a patient's or a paramedic's mind where they got to go to a hospital that isn't equipped or isn't appropriate for their illness. But we're dealing with that all over the place, where there's going to be times in which the system is used to the paramedic's best, you know, judgment, or to affect the paramedic the best, I guess is the best way to say that. But again, we're not sacrificing patient care. I think there are problems across the board, which I've heard from each and every one of you, and I think you're absolutely right. But all in all, as paramedics, I think that that's what makes each, you know, that's why some paramedics come to Oakland, can't work in Oakland. It is too busy. They're not used to writing that many patient care reports. Their ability to work on a computer or type up PCRs is just not that good. So guess what? You know, Oakland's not your thing. But again, Alameda County is diverse enough where you could fit in other places. So,
right. And thanks for coming on tonight. We also want to talk about the meetup when we get a chance toward the end. So that'll be good. Do you guys have any more comments on that? I mean, we start with one topic and we move completely to a different topic, which is awesome. But are there any other thoughts?
Well, I think it just we need to continue to educate our public. And, you know, like I think David said, there are patients, and this particular article says that there are patients who really needed an ambulance who end up driving themselves or getting a neighbor or family member to drive them to the hospital rather than seeking care in place that could have stabilized them a little bit sooner, gotten them assessed and determined via a quicker triage path that they needed to be in the back much more quickly. We need to educate those patients that they need to call 911, and we need to educate our other patient population when it's probably not a good idea to call 911 and use up resources. I don't know if any of you heard the recordings from Australia. Is it an ambulance or is it a taxi?
I think I heard that. Yeah,
the radio PSAs they've done.
Yeah, they're great. Right. It's really good.
I can play them here, actually, if you want to hear them.
Sure, why not bring them on? I think that's a good
one. I'm rigged for sound tonight.
You are good.
Let's see.
Here's a quick test. Listen to these two sounds. Which one is a taxi? Or...
Just drop us over there, thanks.
The first sound was an ambulance. The second was a taxi. Some people can't tell the difference. The following is based on a real 000 call.
Hello, ambulance. What's the exact address of the emergency?
Yeah, I was doing some gardening and I got a splinter in my finger. I need an ambulance.
This caller needs a taxi, not an ambulance. Using an ambulance as a taxi means paramedics may be delayed in attending a life-threatening emergency. You can help save lives. Only call 000 for an ambulance if it's an emergency. Please, don't use an ambulance as a taxi.
That's awesome. That's great.
That is great.
And that's, yeah, and that's education. That's putting, you know, education out there for the public to easily understand.
Yeah, and there's another one just like it that's a guy calls up and goes, yeah, I've had a toothache since earlier this morning, and I need an ambulance. How many of us have had that call?
Yeah, exactly. Or you know, the classic one is, you know, they've had stomach pain since, you know, the day before yesterday, whatever, and it's now 3 a.m. You're like, oh, really? Seriously? Why now at 3 a.m. do you have to, you know, have me take you to the hospital? So, I know. And you know, part of the issue, too, is our broken healthcare system. We don't have a healthcare system. We have a sick care system. And I won't rant about that too much other than to say, until we fix that problem, we will not be a healthcare system. So, anyway. Well, I like those topics, and I think that they're very... I think it kind of sheds some light on, you know, we start out with heaviest users, and we end up talking about people that shouldn't be using the ambulance, which I think are all kind of go into that same vein of, it really comes down to us as the ambulance being proactive with taking the healthcare of our community in mind and really being a part of that. So anyway, enough said. Next topic, which is really cool. I really like this one. Dr. Bledsoe wrote on gems.com recently about an email that he received. Actually, it wasn't recently. It was almost a month ago. It was May 24th. But the title of the post was "The Plague That Kills Professionalism," and it was an email he received from Charles. He's a critical care EMT paramedic, and it was a little bit of a rant, and basically talking about it was an urgent FYI to all pre-hospital providers and administrators about the impending plague that's rapidly spreading throughout our field. It has not yet been named, but it has symptoms of causing severe childish anger and unprofessionalism that spills out onto the public web pages and websites, which causes EMS providers of all rank and certification levels to devour their neighboring agencies and their core's own young. So, you know, this has kind of been a problem since I started 20 some years ago, and I think it's gotten better, but maybe I'm wrong. I remember when we started, and I think it's gotten better because of the internet, and I think that we can find people of similar ilk that really want to change our profession for the good. And then we'll move out people that really don't want to be a part of the profession. And then we can start going, yeah, you don't really fit in with what other people are saying or other providers. Because, you know, 20 years ago, all I knew was the neighboring agency. You know, I knew them. I might have known, you know, some providers in my town. I knew the people I worked with. So it was very easy to devour your young because you're like, I'm not letting you get a step up on me. I'm going to be the person to take this to the next level. But now I think we're slowly maturing as a profession, and I don't necessarily agree with the entire email, but I think that it's a nice little wake up call to keep reminding us not to I'm going to lose our clean tag here, piss on our young. And I really don't want to do that, but I think at the same time we have to. I know as an administrator of a system that I always welcome new ideas. In fact, some of the best ideas come from the people that have been there the shortest amount of time. They come in and go, well, why don't you do this? I'm like, I don't know. Nobody's ever brought it to my attention. Great idea. But it's up to us also as administrators and people that have been doing it a while to recognize
the good ideas and the bad ideas and then to implement them, and that sometimes is hard. So what are you guys' thoughts? Do we still devour our young or no?
Absolutely. It happens. You know, they're out there. But it's kind of funny because we've had discussions about it, is that when I first came into this business, is when the paramedic walked in, you was kind of like, you're to be seen and not heard. And we've lost a lot of that recently. Some of the comments that you get from some of these new EMTs, I sat there a few times just with my jaw on the ground in front of patients, some of the stuff they're saying to me and then to the patient going, what are you, where did that come from? And I think you're starting to see that. I mean, you see it just, even just not even in EMS, but in generation, is that there's a lot of decrease in respect for the older generations.
Hmm. Well, and I'm almost wondering, is it a plague that is in, that's kind of rampant? Maybe this is the one thing that we have in common with medicine. I know that in medicine, they devour their young pretty easily. And sometimes, you know, with a nice fava bean. But, sorry.
Really?
Had to say it. Had
to
say it.
Did you just say that?
Yeah, I did. That was a great movie, sorry. So, I mean, that maybe that's the one thing that we actually have in common with medicine is, you know, you have physicians that are used to, you know, berating nurses and berating the students and blah, blah, blah. So it's very easy for them to carry that over to the EMS crews bringing patients in. So then the EMS crews pick up on that and start doing the same thing. I mean, maybe it's just the plague of the industry, of medicine as a whole.
Let me put a name to this plague, because when I read this, there are two things that stood out to me. The unnamed plague is passion. Okay, what he's complaining about is the passion that people have for EMS in their area, the passion of the traditions, the passion of the system that they're in, you know, and their frustration with not being able to do what, you know, they think should be able to be done. He's really complaining about people who are passionate. And he himself is doing the exact same thing in a couple of different lines, referring it to a $100,000 taxi and, you know, take your head out of, you know, a certain, you know, body part. You know, he's showing the exact same passion that he's complaining about. And I think that where all of that stems from is it stems from frustration. People are frustrated with, you know, the systems that they're in, and you know, because the internet, it has definitely made it better, and it's definitely opened up a lot of our eyes as to what else is out there. You know, Ted and the Chronicles of EMS is a great example of that. They're showing, you know, a system, here's what happens in one system. And you know what? It could happen entirely different across the country, and people are looking at that, and they're frustrated because they can't have the same thing where they are. And what's worse is they don't know how to get there. So I really think that it's about passion, and when passionate people become frustrated, you know, they will tend to eat their young.
Go ahead, Ted.
Okay, and frustration does definitely happen with many of us who are very, very passionate about what we do and how we go things, but frustration is our way of saying that things are just not moving as fast as we'd like. And honestly, I can attest to this 10 times over, but you know, with regards to my experience so far about trying to develop something that I feel is definitely going to better the industry, better, you know, I heard a speech this morning, yesterday morning, from Mike Tagman about leadership. And when I heard this speech, one of the things that really stuck out in my mind was, you know, what really motivates me? And I think it is making sure that I'm working with some of the people who are equally passionate, regardless of our frustrations, regardless of what hills we climb, bumps in the road we come across, the one thing that keeps me going, not only with Chronicles, but on everything else that I do, is knowing full well I'm working with people who are equally as passionate. And even though we hit those bumps, I know that I can call any one of the people that I have been working with, including Montera, you know, Kyle. I mean, I'm in this position here where if it wasn't for everybody else around me with that same passion, I am not about ready to eat my young. I'll tell you what, I'll be the first to say, if you can show me as much passion as I'm putting into the things that I like, you and I are going to be friends for a very long time. So, Jamie, that includes you too, by the way. And so it is such an important attribute. I feel that we as healthcare innovators, if you will, need to understand that in order for us to continue on this path, we've got to understand that these hills in the road and the bumps that we hit are simply just that. And our frustrations need to be, and we should air our frustrations. But again, we got to lean back on the people who have supported us through the whole thing as well. And I feel that this industry has actually taken a huge step forward over the last 6 months, in my opinion, because I've seen less and less of the eating of the young. Even where I work at AMR in Alameda County, I'm seeing more and more of a collaboration among the most senior to the most junior people, and it's actually quite refreshing.
Well, Ted, don't misunderstand me. I've seen that same thing probably over the last 10 years or so, at least in New York City. You know, back in 99, 2000, early 2001, you know, it was pretty cutthroat to work in the New York City system, between the fire department, the voluntary hospitals, and then add in the volunteers. You know, it was a very cutthroat. I'm out for me. I need to protect my area. You know, I need to keep the other ambulances out of my area, kind of mentality. And that changed dramatically, you know, due to other events. And that mentality really went far, far away. And it became more of a collaborative effort. And what I'm seeing now is I'm starting to see that mentality creep back in, because again, we're still in systems where we're pay for service, where we continually face budget cuts, where you know there's the continual I'm trying to think of the correct word for it, but there's the continual neglect of, you know, what our educational needs actually are and what they should be. You know, EMTs are 120 hours and out now, and you know they're just not coming out prepared, and they're not coming out experienced. And I think that, you know, not investing the time and the money in them when they first start is a huge issue, at least for us over here. And I think that to a certain degree, it's starting to go back to this realm of exactly what, you know, he's writing about, and where, yeah, it's going to become survival of the fittest, you know, and whoever can take the most abuse is going to end up being the ones who turn around and stay, and that's usually the people who are most passionate about it.
I have to disagree with you just a little bit. I think survival of the fittest, though, sometimes has to be the people that not only are passionate about it, but innovate and collaborate and really try to bring people together for and part of a common goal. And those people are more successful than the people that are just passionate and just want to move the industry forward at no cost. Because I think we've seen that in other industries, and it just tears the company down that has to deal with it. So I think doing it at all costs is one thing versus having passion that's controlled within a scope that you can understand. So,
right. No, I completely agree with that. Which is actually my point, is because, you know, his rant seems like he's not in control, you know? So yeah, if you're able to turn around and direct that passion and get, you know, and leadership is able to properly direct the passion of people, then yeah, it can definitely turn around.
So Jamie, you have to have, or Kyle, you guys have to have something.
Well,
to say about this.
I, you know, there's a constant challenge, and it's I think this goes on in many professions, and not just medicine, but in many places where you have a body of information that is imparted via a class or a certification or some sort of program where somebody thinks they've learned everything they need to know. They've learned some novel new things, but they have not gained the necessary field experience or real life experience in that career path to apply the experience to the knowledge and come out with that synthesis that provides real insight into what's going on. And that's the challenge I think that we see a lot in when anybody who's ever precepted new students, you really have to sometimes bite your tongue because sometimes they can get on your nerves because, oh, no, we do it this way. You know, there's no allowance because everything had to be just so to pass their skills tests. If you do something slightly different, it's wrong. And so you have to really use a little bit of soft touch with some people. And this is something that anyone that's precepted a new student will see. Sometimes we break those really passionate people by matching a passionate student, new EMT, new paramedic, up with a cantankerous old paramedic who doesn't have that soft touch. They just can them. Because they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear that there might be another way. And they don't want to handle that person. So, yeah, we eat our young. We do it. And part of the issue is that the people at the top of the food chain or have been around for a while don't really want to listen to the guy that's just come out and full of piss and vinegar and wants to go ahead. You already blew the clean tag, so I can say that. But I think we need to, you know, keep that in mind. We also have those new people coming out. I think I get a lot of questions on the Medicast from students. I'm going into my preceptorship. I'm going into the clinical setting. What's some of your advice to me? And I think that we're really dropping the ball that, all right, you're in your classroom. Here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. Here's how you do this skill. Here's how you learn this knowledge. Here's how you pass this test. All right, go to the clinical setting. There's no real orientation to how to be a good preceptee, and in some cases there's not any good orientation for the person on the other end of that either. It's just, all right, you got a student riding with you today. It's not somebody who's prepared for that, and it's not somebody who's suited for that job, but they got the job. So there's a lot of places we drop the ball, and it just comes back to really, I think every system's going to be slightly different. That clinical setting is going to be set up in a different way. There needs to be some orientation for both sides to that picture, and the new guy needs to understand you might have some great ideas, and we want to hear those great ideas, but you also need to understand that there are some things that somebody's going to be able to teach you if you're open-minded enough to see that there's more than one way to do something. And these are the things that I think we really fail to impart to our new EMTs and paramedics, that we don't give them that leeway to be able to suggest some policy changes or ways to do things, at the same time that we don't also say to them, you need to be respectful and learn from the years of real life field experience from the medics you're riding with. And it's only a problem for a few, but it's usually the most vocal few.
Very good point that that's the case in anywhere though. The vocal minority tend to speak for the majority, and yeah, it just makes it hard. Kyle, how about you?
I think when we talk about eating our young, I think there's two ways it can be looked at. When you mentioned the aspect about the doctor screaming and yelling at the nurses, that's not acceptable. Even the young and screaming at the residents, that's not acceptable. I think sometimes eating the young is also pushing people. We push him to be good. We push him to be like everyone. Whenever I've had preceptors working under me, or I've been a preceptor, there's always the same comment: do you want them taking care of your family? And I think pushing them hard, pushing them to be not perfect, but the best that they can with the experience and knowledge that they have been given, and to take away lifelong learning, on top of that is a good thing. I think there's no reason to be screaming and hollering. Negative reinforcement like that is always detrimental. It never works out well. But I think sometimes, there's two ways looking at how we eat our young, and I like to say that we like to eat our young in terms of we push them. It's not just like, this isn't, a career in the rapid food deployment service where, you can just quickly, throw a burger and some fries together. Nothing against, those folks that do that, because trust me, I like my McDonald's, I like my Burger King and my fast foods on that, but we tend to push it. We are a type A personality, and that's the other thing that kind of comes into play, is that if you look at it, everyone's like, why were you a paramedic? Well, I didn't do well, where else I was, because I always wanted to be in charge. And you kind of have that. You get more than two or three medics on scene, it can get ugly quick.
Yeah, very true. And that is unfortunate, because it's like, really? Does it have to be that bad? Ugh, it just annoys me. Well, maybe the episode will be called With Fava Beans or something like that, because we continue to talk about this topic, and I don't know that it's going to go away. I really don't. I don't see how we can do this other than from the beacons that we're creating, whether it's through video, audio, a blog, and we just try to continue to pull people together to try and keep a semblance of what we're trying to do. And it really starts with our generation. We talked about this a little bit last week on the show, to say, because I'm one of the first, at least this has been my career. EMS has been my career. And I will probably die in EMS, whatever that is, whether it's a, I don't know. I mean, whether I'm doing something later on, whether I'm always doing this, I really don't know. But I know that I'm part of one of the first generations that didn't have a different profession and came into this. I've always known EMS, and I feel that we have it within our power to change it. And yeah, I mean, there are some people in our industry that have come and gone and done different things, but by and large, I've had different jobs, don't get me wrong. I delivered pizza, for goodness sake. But this has been my career, and it's a lifelong career, because I love it and I want to see it change and I want to see it grow. And I think as we get more people in the industry like that, I think we'll tend to, because I was eaten, I was chewed up and spat out, just like many other EMS youngsters, because I had passion. I was like, I was 22 and 21, 19, I was young when I started, and I was called a kid, and I took my lumps, and I did all the scut work, and I did a lot. But I think that until we really, until this generation of EMS providers changes what the future looks like, it's going to continue to happen. Reaction to that?
It just, again, I come back to the same thing. It comes back to, what are we doing to better handle that transition from brand new student with a lot of energy and excitement about getting into the field, and dealing with getting them moved into the field in a real way. Some places seem to do it really well, and I think it has to do with the fact that they've developed a really good core of strong mentors in that system. Other systems, it's just you get thrown to the wolves, and some survive and some don't. Now, we're going to lose people along the way no matter what we do, but people are going to find out that it's not for them. But I think that we need to do a better job of setting expectations and really revealing that to people. And I see this all the time with new students struggling to find jobs they've been told that this is a career to go into, and then there's no support for them to really move forward at the other end of the spectrum, because they were encouraged to go into a field of study, but now they're kind of on their own. What are we doing to support them? And then when they get into a system, it's completely different from the system under which they studied, and that causes them issues. We're such a fractured profession because of the many different ways we serve that I think it's very difficult for any answer to that solution. But certainly, I think it comes in part from the way we educate at the very beginning.
Very good point. And that we don't have a career ladder.
Well, that's a whole nother about 10 episodes.
Yeah, there's a new podcast right there. No, I'm just teasing. Kyle, Dave.
EMS career ladder.
Yeah. Oh, wait, it would be a short episode. There isn't one. Good night.
Yeah, it's basically two sticks with nothing in between.
That's right. We'll give you the sticks, but you have to find the rungs. I'm sorry. Yeah.
That's right. All rung out on EMS.
Brutal. Well, I have to say that ultimately what I get from my career kind of sense of what this is all about, I'm meeting more and more people, and I don't know if it's the influence of the Montera bug, but there's a lot of people that I'm starting to get acquainted with that, sorry about that, who are getting involved with podcasting, who's getting involved with blogging, who see the potential of social media and EMS and are starting to respect the medium for what it can do. And it's actually quite inspiring just to see the sheer numbers that are starting to get involved, the emails I'm receiving, and what's coming out of it. So I ultimately feel that there's people may not have a career ladder per se, but they're finding it. They're finding their own niche, and there's a lot more people doing that. And I'm pretty inspired by that.
Well, thank you. That really made me happy. Woo, wow. Second time tonight I've been, my head's going to swell, I'm telling you. Rick Rosati was all like, oh, I'm also glad to be on a podcast with you. So thanks, dude. I really appreciate it. No, you know, it's so simple. It's a bunch of people sitting around talking about what we're passionate about. And if something changes because of it, all the better. But, you know, it's something that we like to do. We like to talk. And it's a good thing. Speaking of talking, we are running out of time. So any last thoughts or about anything tonight, about eating our young or, you know, diversions or other topics du jour before we hit the end of the show and talk to Ted about seat of the table and meet up and a few other issues?
I got to tell you, I've left.
Ted first.
Oh, go. Let's see. Kyle first. Go.
So I think, you know, I've left the EMS industry several times. And I keep coming back. I love it. I had a young paramedic talking to me earlier today and asked me if I wanted to go for RN or MD, which one would I do? I said neither. I said, I want to stay as a medic. I like being a medic. I like being out in the streets. I like working in people's living rooms, on the floors, in back bedrooms. It's the challenge of it that I enjoy. And, you know, I'm hoping, I was talking to some young EMTs the other day, And a medic, and they're like, so how can we make a difference? We're not going to see it. I said, you're right. I said, we may not see the actual difference, but the next generation of EMS people will. And that's really the goal, I think, of what we're doing is, you know, we may not reap the immediate benefits of what we're doing here and what Ted's doing and we're doing through EMS 2.0. But I'm hoping that the next generation of EMTs and paramedics will be the recipients of what we're trying to do. And that's really where I think we need to look at.
Well, and you're right, and I don't think we even have an understanding of what we're doing now, and I don't pretend to even have a, you know, I'm quite honestly, I'm amazed when people even listen to the show, let alone comment about it and call and want to be on the show and things like that. So to me, that's very cool, but I think that we could be the emergency of our generation. Really, that show defined a generation of providers, and I think that we may help define the providers of the profession, and as it goes forward. And that's exciting to me. I think that those are things that we can really do and be successful at. And that's what makes me happy. So, Dave, you had a comment.
Yeah, I just wanted to know if I was the one who messed up the clean tag first.
No, it was me. I said pissed.
Oh, okay. I started to worry, so I wanted to apologize if I did.
No. You know what? And funny, we don't really put a clean tag on our show just because of that. Although we try to be family friendly because we want all the providers to be able to listen to this in the car with your kids. So if there are ever bad words, we will take them out. I promise you that. In fact, last week I actually did edit the episode. So
no.
Yeah, amazing. Well, we had a few little issues with maybe. Well, in the States, we don't have, or where this happened, there's really not HIPAA, but I wanted to make sure that this person was covered when they started talking. So we took care of any HIPAA/patient confidentiality problems last week. So, yeah, I actually did edit, and it was torturous and not a lot of fun, but I did it. So, because I like to bring an unedited show to people because I wanted to hear everything that goes on. Well, okay, not everything, but close to it. And then, Ted, you had another comment as well. Okay, maybe not. I don't know. I thought you did. Maybe. Yeah.
I do know that over this last week, Mark coming out and us being able to have our next episode of, our next episodes of Seat at the Table went unbelievable. Having the guests that we did have and the conversations that ensued, I almost felt like I was on EMS Garage, but in an extremely cool studio with really cool cameras and a lot on, well, it's just going to look better than EMS Garage. Sorry, bud.
Hey, I don't take any offense to it.
Because you're not on video, so I can say that for right now.
Well, not yet. But you know what the thing is for me, too, is I think that there's enough room in this space for everybody. And, you know, what do we think? We're maybe reaching 5% of the market. Yeah, maybe. Maybe we're as an entire industry of bloggers, podcasters, video, whatever we're doing. I think maybe we reach 5%. Maybe. So we have some room for growth. I don't care. Because I think that what you're doing is very different than anything we're doing. And that's why I'm, you know, there's a new, the EMT newbie show. I can't think of the name of it right now. I actually emailed him this past week and said, dude, I want you to be on. Come on, man. It was actually a great show. Kelly Grayson was on with him and, it was really
good. And it's a great show. And then I heard him being interviewed on another, online marketing podcast that I listen to.
Nice.
Because he has another podcast and then he got into EMS as a second career and decided to start a podcast about his experience. So he's an experienced podcaster. He should be. I'm doing the same thing. I'm getting in touch with him.
Right on. He's a great guy. So very, very cool. Well, thank you guys for joining us tonight. Ted, do you want to talk anything about how did the meetup go and, you know, was it fun and, you know, did you drink too much? Things like that.
The super secret fun we had was actually transmitted via Ustream, so that was kind of cool. But ultimately, it was a really we dove into a couple of conversations that I think are going to end up on future episodes of Seat at the Table. So I'm really excited about that. We had about 15-20 people show up, which was really nice. It was a lot of people that actually been following, been talking on Twitter and just hadn't met yet. So it was really kind of cool. The Seat at the Table down in San Jose, we had folks from the TAC response people. We had Zoll Medical represented. We had the recent president elect of the International Association of EMS Chiefs. Bill Sugiyama there. We had Mike Tagman, and it was just ultimately a really good time filming, and I can definitely tell you that we're eager to get our next episodes out. So those will be coming out in the next few short weeks.
Very cool. Well, I can't wait to see them. Can they see those on the Chronicles of EMS website? Is that where they go?
That'll be it. Yep.
Chronicles of EMS.com. Go there and look at those. And where can they find you, Ted?
They can find me at Setla on Twitter. Facebook, cool. Of course, just look up Setla. Actually, just Google Thaddeus Setla, and somehow you can get a hold of me.
I'm pretty sure that that's a pretty unique name. They'll find you. Right on. Well, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it. Mr. David Koenig, where can people find you?
On Twitter, David Koenig, and davidkoenig.com.
And do you have any cool posts coming up we could scoop?
Not really. I do have a project in the works, which was waiting on the whole WP 3.0 thing, but I've got at least a month of deep coding before I even get to the pre-launch stage. So, but as soon as that's ready to go, I'll definitely let you know.
All right, very cool. Well, thank you very much. I'm excited to hear that, and that's very cool. I always look forward to reading your posts, and you're always very intelligent, and you make me laugh. And you know what's good? Thank you for writing the fine people at Stitcher.com, where you can find... Hey, Jamie, can they find your shows there yet? Say yes.
I keep forgetting to do it. That's it. I'm putting a note down here, and I'm going to do it. Get up Stitcher. Early and do it tomorrow.
It's so easy, dude.
Stitcher is awesome, dude. It's awesome.
So Stitcher picked up the post that David wrote and emailed me back and said, hey, thanks for the plug on our about Stitcher. So if you have an Android or you have an iPhone, you have anything that can stream media, a Palm Pre, you go to Stitcher.com and you can download the application, put it right on your phone. You can stream episodes of EMS Garage, EMS Leadership, EMS Educast. I'm sure very soon, first few moments will be on there. So we're making sure that we can bring all of that internet radio to you, just like a radio show almost. You can, so it won't take you, so you're like, oh man, I can't wait for the newest episode, and you can get it right then. So Stitcher.com, and you can find all of our shows under the medical section, and you can just search them right there at Stitcher. So thanks for writing that post, Dave. I really loved it, and I do agree with you. It's got some minor glitches, the caching, if you lose 3G or something, you might have to cache a little bit more, but for the most part, it does a pretty good job. I was very impressed with it.
And yeah, no, I mean, I was really impressed with it. I thought it did a great job. The small minor things, but they sent me or left me a comment saying that they were going to turn around and that there's an update coming out soon that's going to resolve a lot of the things that I pointed out. And I'll be honest with you, it's available across all the mobile platforms. It's really easy to use, and the audio is fantastic. So
cool, right on. Well, thank you for writing that post, Mr. Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic. Where can people find you?
Well, I'm going to put out a big plug for my brand new short segment video program. Of course, I'm doing the podcast. Anybody who's been to the MedicCast blog, medicast.com/blog, if they've been there, they have seen the new studio video that I'm doing. So every week you can watch the show as a full video segment with all of the tip and information right there as a video. And you can also just listen to the regular audio podcast as well. But I've started a new program, and it's now available in iTunes, so you can subscribe to it. Short little video segments, commentary about things that I find amusing or interesting. And, I'm really looking forward. I did some deep, deep research and fact-finding for tomorrow's release. Comes out every Friday, and it's going to be really heavy-hitting, good journalism tomorrow. It's the top 10 failed Chronicles of EMS titles.
That's going to be awesome.
So,
when do you guys announce that winner? When do you announce the winner? I want to know the winner, not the loser.
Not soon enough, because they're going to see these, and they're going to hope they get more.
Yeah, dude, and if you name any of the people, if anybody who listens to that and thinks, and actually some of those may have been names, I'm going to just... That's going to be great.
I'm going to give you one. I'm going to give you one of the 10, okay?
Okay.
Are you ready?
I love this, yes.
Does this jumpsuit make me look fat?
Oh my god!
We thought
it was a fight, nurse.
Oh. We thought of it.
Oh, poor Mark.
And then why would you think I was referring to Mark?
Well, he wore a jumpsuit. Hello.
Oh, that's true. Oh, no, it's not hard.
Hey, if you haven't seen the episode, you need to go watch it. Oh, wow. Well,
that's pretty good. Okay.
Nice, Medicast.tv will get you there, so you can find everything there. Medicast.tv.
Medicast.tv. And we're slowly, very slowly, working on This Week in EMS, and that'll be a new podcast coming out soon. Pod/video/something. And we're hoping to refine it better than last week, but it was still fun, so we'll get there. Mr. Kyle David Bates and his soon burgeoning podcast media empire, along with the image media empire, and a few things he's else got to do. So, how are you? Where can people find you, sir?
Oh, they can find me at kyledavidbates.com, Twitter at ImageMedic, Facebook ImageMedic. And the newest and greatest, firstfewmoments.com, will be the new site and the new podcast that we're working on.
Very cool. And you have something else coming too, but we'll wait for that until you're ready. So, I actually have two things coming up that you told me. I got scoops on those, but I really want to tell people, but until it's confirmed, we're not going to say anything. So, anyway, it's good.
Yeah, it's probably good.
Right on. Well, thank you, guys. As always, thanks for joining me. I'm Geeky Medic. You can find us on all the websites. Join us this week when a new EMS Leadership is released and new EMS Garage, obviously, since you're listening to this. And Educast, as always, is out. Thanks for joining us. You know, I love having these guys on because it's really makes it a fun podcast, and I don't have to talk the whole time. So, Jamie, I don't know how you talk for the entire Medicast. Oh, man. I'm just like, wow. I'm completely in awe that you can do that so many times a week with that and the nursing show and everything else. It's amazing. So you guys carry the show for me, and thank you guys very much. And as always, thank you for listening to us, because without you, there really wouldn't be a show. We would just be talking to dead air. So thanks for joining us, and look for the new after EMS Garage coming up very, very soon. It'll be a video post as well as a small little podcast about comments that we received during the week. And as always, join us next week when we talk more about issues that concern you in EMS. Good night.